The impression that we get is that you saw the sign and it opened up your eyes. After all, life is demanding without understanding. Am I right? The 90s left us with a lot of unanswered questions like, what is love? What's up? And what if God was one of us? Maybe we can get to the bottom of some of these hard-hitting questions. So grab your rabbit and a hat and a bat and hop in your 6'4 Impala because we are talking one-hit wonders on this all-new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome to this podcast that takes a look at everything that the 80s and 90s has to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stir up some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, Rob, joined by my good friend who is not a one-hit wonder, Dave.
Well, thank you, Rob. That was a great introduction. I'm very excited that you put so much emphasis into me not being a one-hit wonder.
You're not a one-hit wonder.
I am not. So, well, normally on our podcast, this would be the part where you, Rob, would do your hello with some hard-hitting lyrics or some kind of movie quote or something like that. But I'm going to do a new segment today, a little something different for our fans. I've been thinking about doing this 1990s advice. There was a lot of things flowing around.
Oh,
we've been on the pod for a while now, and we care about our listeners so much that I want to leave them with just a piece of advice. And this is something you can do and will apply to you every day, and it's hard-hitting. It comes from our first piece of advice ever on this show. Comes from a great 90s trio from the mean streets of Philadelphia. Uh-huh. And the piece of advice is this. Never trust a big butt and a smile.
Oh.
It's great advice. Now, you can trust a big butt, and you can even trust a smile. You just can't trust them together or at the same time. So, for our fans out there, you can apply that to any situation that you're in.
Don't.
And go ahead and never trust a big butt and a smile. That is our first bit of 80s, 90s recall, 1990s advice.
And that's something you could apply
to any situation in your life.
Immediately.
Yes.
That's immediately applicable.
You got a flat tire? Don't trust the big button to smile. You got to change it on your own.
And back to what you said, it's very important that you not do them both. Like, you have to do them both. You
can't do them together.
You can't.
You could.
Yes.
You could trust a big butt. You could trust a smile. You just can't trust a big butt and a smile. At the same time.
It's a very important qualifier.
It is. So, that's great advice.
That's
everyone
good advice.
Should follow.
All right. Well, I like that.
It's good.
That's really good. I look forward to
By
more
the way, we
advice.
Are not registered psychologists and or in right. any way qualified to give advice to anyone. So please take that.
I disagree.
Take that as you will. We're not responsible if you do trust a big button, a smile. That's on you.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had to question a big button, a smile?
Well, I live my life by never trusting it, so I haven't had that problem.
No, you've never fell prey to the big butt and the smile.
I saw it coming.
You saw it coming.
I stayed away.
All right. Good job. So with that, Dave, what is the topic of this week's episode?
Well, before I jump into the topic,
you
alluded to it a little earlier.
Yeah.
But before we jump into it, we've been doing this for a while now. We're on almost 7 months worth of this pod, 7-8 months worth of this podcast. And it's been a great time. And we've gotten a lot more interest than we ever expected. So
I was just going to ask you, what 7 months ago when you texted me and said,
let's do it. Yeah.
Did you expect it to go the way it's gone?
Not as fast. I was hoping some people would listen, but we've got quite a lot of people that listen. So, and as you're listening, what we would like to ask is help us out. We want to get this show out to as many people as possible. We're not going to be one of those Patreon type shows. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go behind a paywall. Whatever you and I provide, everyone gets for free. But we want it to get to as many people as possible. So we just have a little task for you, our fans.
Okay.
Please subscribe to the show if you haven't done so already. and just share it with one other person. If everyone that follows us shares it with one other person, we double immediately. And when you can find the time, 5 stars and a review on Apple or Spotify or any service where you can review us, we would appreciate that. And we'll respond to any. We love reading the reviews, so we'll respond to any of them. And go over to our social medias. We got TikTok. We got YouTube now.
Just got YouTube.
Instagram, yeah. Facebook. Leave us messages. Twitter, even though people are using Twitter less. Leave us messages on there. We'd be happy to answer those. We'd love to interact. And send us email, 80s90srecall@gmail.com. Show ideas, things you thought about the show, songs you think we forgot, songs we added that you're like, what were you thinking? We love that. And we'll engage with all of those. So anything you send us, we'll respond to.
Yeah, that's been interesting to hear what people have said we've forgotten.
Yeah, like, I always like
songs
that.
We forgot or characters we didn't mention. Because
everyone has. The good thing about music is everybody can have an opinion on that. So, but yeah, we want to grow the show. We want to get as many people as possible. So go on over there to any of those. Share it with a friend. We know you're listening. We know you love it. Somebody else loves it. Give it to them. And we'll keep this thing going. And with all that being said,
yes,
as Rob alluded to earlier, so we get back to what we're here for. Today's topic, we are going to be talking about one-hit wonders of the 1990s.
I had a lot to choose from.
A lot.
Yeah, my list was long.
Long and distinguished.
Do you want to talk a little bit about where the idea for this episode came from?
It came from one of our listeners and friend of the show, a friend of ours, Aubrey, who you could have heard on episode 5, our Groundhog Day episode. She wrote in and said she thought this would make a good idea, and I agree with her.
I also agree with her.
So, yeah. So thank you, Aubrey.
Yeah, nice job. Talk a little bit about your thought process and how you selected your 13 one-hit wonders.
I went with the ones that, like, it's their, to me, signature song. Okay. Like, if you said this artist's name, that's the only song you think of. That doesn't mean they couldn't have had other songs or something else people liked. But this is the song where that's what I think about when you mention X. And so that's how I selected those. And the ones that I like the most, like, that I actually still listen to, that I enjoy, that's how I picked. Because there's lots of one-hit wonders that I wouldn't pick,
right?
Because I just don't think they're good songs.
No, I think that's fair.
But they qualify as one-hit wonders. I just don't want to use them.
Yeah, no, I had a similar selection process. The only thing I did a little different, probably, than because we didn't really talk about this, is is I tried to pick the songs from every. I tried to spread it out throughout the decade. So there were too many.
One from every year. Is that what you did?
Almost. Well, there's a couple I had to double up, but
that's not the worst.
And there were some years. There were some years that had a lot more than others.
There was just a lot in general.
93 or 1 year anyway.
I think if you look at the way the music rolled through the 90s, it was prime for one-hit wonders because the styles were changing so fast.
That's a good point. Yeah,
because we're going from the early 90s R&B and like boy band stuff, and then
it's ska,
you get into ska, grunge, and then R&B and rap took over again. Then the boy bands came back in the late 90s. I mean, so
that's a good point.
It was primed to have a lot of different kinds of songs.
No, that's a good point.
It is a good point. That's why I made it.
That's
yes. I don't just say these things to hear myself talk, although I do enjoy that as well. But yes, so.
You give a lot of thought to. You're very thoughtful.
Sometimes. All yeah. Right. That's you don't always say that. So it's not always true.
Well, anything else you want to add before we
kick into this thing?
So you did say that we could have another episode.
Yeah, we can talk about that later on, but there's easily this could be volume 1.
Volume 1. I like that.
Before we even look at the rest of this and see what we actually have, this could be easily volume 1. So do you think, before we get started, that we're going to have any repeats, any crossovers?
I don't think so.
Really?
Well.
Not even one?
We might have one. If there's one that has to be on here.
I'm going to say.
It's got to be your number one.
I'm going
to
say.
Or not your number one, but we've got to have. Because to me, it's kind of the quintessential one-hit wonder.
All right.
And if it's not on somebody's list.
I'm going to say over under 2.
You're going to go 2?
I've got a couple I think you're not going to be even in the ballpark with. And I got a couple that I'm pretty sure you're going to scowl as soon as I play. So,
no, I'm going to go. You said over under two. I'm going to go over under one.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I think our lists are going to be. There was a lot to choose from.
Because I'm assuming then that tells me you've picked a bunch of weird things.
No, they're not weird.
You don't want to pick weird ones.
I played by the rules.
Our listeners want songs that they can remember.
Oh, yeah. They'll remember
these. You can't just pull these out of left field and go.
Oh, no. These are. People will know these.
Yeah. Some random band you found on a Starbucks CD somewhere. So.
No.
All right.
No. All right. Well, let's count some blue cars and find out just how we do it as we look at some one-hit wonders of the 1990s. Well, here comes the hot stepper. Dave, hit us with your number 10.
Hot stepper, are you alluding to a soon-to-be song for yourself there?
No, that is not in my top 10.
Okay. No, I need Kamozi.
Nope.
Well, because I also do not have the I need Kamozi. I think that's an interesting band name. You've got me all flustered thinking about I need Kamozi now. And
it's because I called you the hot stepper.
Yeah, maybe something.
So this is your number 10?
No, my number 10. This is I Want to Be Rich by Calloway.
Nope.
Here it comes.
I know the song. What year? Do you know?
I want to say 91.
91, okay.
I want to say 91, but yeah, so that's Calloway.
Nope.
All right.
That's nowhere on my list.
Not 91, sorry, 1990 on the dot. So,
oh, okay.
This song hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 in May of 1990. Only number 60 in Australia and 100 in the UK, so they don't want to be rich. This is the band's only top 10 hit in the US.
Oh, so this is a band. This isn't a guy.
Calloway. Yes, this is a band.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always thought Calloway was just a name.
I guess not.
Stage name.
Right.
But it's a group.
Apparently.
Okay.
I don't know that much about them. I just know this song. So, you know me, I love poppy songs. Got a great hook.
Yeah.
It's a very 80s message, late 80s, about wanting lots and lots of money, the whole Wall Street, yuppie type thing.
Sure.
This song would definitely be rejected by grunge fans as being too commercial, glorifying being rich. This would be thrown away immediately. But this is before the grunge movement.
Yeah.
So you could enjoy Calloway and then bridge over to Nirvana and or Alice in Chains. And I think you could be happy. So did you want to be rich?
I think we always want to be rich.
Yeah. Do you want to be rich with this song?
No.
Did you like that song?
I mean, I like it. I don't know that
I don't think you're convincing me.
Yeah, it was all right. I can see why you like it. This does have Dave written all over it.
Very catchy.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Let's get that. Yeah. All right. Well, here's my number 10.
Your number 10.
My number 10. And you will know it.
Immediately. Oh, wow.
Come on.
That's a great song.
That's a great song.
Yes.
It says Groove is in the Heart.
Yes. Also 1990.
It is 1990. And yeah, this is 1990. The band is Delight with multiple E's.
Got Bootsy Collins on that,
yeah. And a killer slide whistle.
It is.
Yeah, I know you like
random instruments.
Well, I know that you like instrument solos. We've talked about saxophone solos and guitar solos, but not very often that we get a slide whistle incorporated into the
I do love mix. A slide whistle.
But yeah, it's Delight with three E's, by the way. Released August of 1990, written and produced by the band, reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. Widely recognized as a classic in its genre. Originally written in the late 1980s, which I thought was interesting. We talked about the slide whistle. You got a little Bootsy Collins, and the rap is by the
Q-Tip.
Q-Tip.
Called Quest.
Yes. Some reviews. In 2021, Rolling Stone ranked it number 233 in its updated list of the 500 greatest songs of all time.
Oh, my goodness.
Calling it a collage across different generations and funketeers.
That's a word.
That's not a word that we use enough.
Funketeers.
Yeah.
Where would you use that word?
I don't know.
If you're going to say something like you don't use it enough, where are you going to use it?
Due to a rule regarding ties on the chart that looked at increased sales from the previous week, which song sold 8 more copies than Groove Is in the Heart, which subsequently allowed the song to spend a second week at the number one spot and therefore convincingly outsell Groove Is in the Heart?
What song?
Yeah. Can you think of a song?
How many songs were number one in 1990?
MC Hammer, You Can't Touch Us, Steve Miller Band, The Joker, Billy Idol, Cradle of Love, or New Kids on the Block, Step by Step.
I like Cradle of Love. I feel like that could be it.
No. Oh,
goodness.
Yeah, it's Steve Miller Band, The Joker.
Why is that playing in 1990?
I don't know.
All right. That doesn't fit with the rest of those songs at all. So
I don't make up I don't make up the charts. I just
That's a really good song. So our number 10s were pretty dead even. Both really good.
Nice.
So that takes me to number 9.
You're number 9.
Number 9 is a wonderful tune, also from 1990 on the dot.
See, I'm telling you, I think 1990, 91, there was a ton.
There's some good ones. And this is one of the best. I can't believe I have it this low, but there were just really so many other good ones. But it is a multilingual song.
Oh, the Macarena.
No, it is. That didn't come out in 1990.
I don't know.
It's Gerardo with Rico Suave.
That's so stupid.
It's great.
Okay, but yeah, but we're not here to
what?
To analyze the quality. This is a one-hit wonder.
This is a one-hit
wonder.
This
meets all the criteria.
Every bit of the criteria possible, and it's a great song. So
yes,
it's 2 for 2. As I said, released in 1990, Gerardo is from Ecuador. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say he'll be the only Ecuadorian rapper on this episode. Hit number 7 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and the song was ranked number 100 on VH1's 100 Best Songs of the 90s and number 9 of their greatest one-hit wonders. The lyrics in this song are half English, half Spanish, but I can tell you some of the English ones that I understood at the time were quite suggestive. I gave you an example here of my favorite lyric in the song. Says, my only addiction has to do with the female species. I eat them raw like sushi. So take that for whatever you want it to be. Also, Gerardo, not just famous for Rico Suave, was a main star in the 1987 hit Patrick Dempsey movie, Can't Buy Me Love. He was one of the popular kids that Ronald Miller grew up to hang out with.
Wow.
So, yeah. Gerardo.
No, Gerardo. Yeah, not on my list.
What do you think about the eating them raw like sushi?
I think it's...
Yeah. He had another line in there about, I'm used to good old-fashioned homestyle Spanish cooking. If I eat that, I'll be puking. See, those are hard-hitting lyrics. Like, those took him a long time to come up with.
No.
No,
yeah. No, they didn't.
Rico.
See, how is that fair? He was able to write those and make... He's probably making his royalty on every...
Actually, if you go look Gerardo up, he's got Grammys on top of Grammys for producing like Spanish music and stuff like that. Okay. So this was his big hit. Right. But look, Gerardo, you can say what you want, but pop culture-wise, Rico Suave is a thing now people use today as a term to talk about a guy who's smooth with the ladies.
Yeah.
Or has, as the kids nowadays say, Riz.
Right? Yeah.
Do you know what Riz?
I don't know. I've heard it.
They took the word charisma that's too long and they just put the Riz from the middle. And so
always
now,
with the shortening of the word.
If you're cool with the ladies or the guys, depending on what side you're on, you have Riz.
You have Riz.
Riz? Yeah.
Riz. Oh,
okay. I think it's the right way to use it. I think we'll go with that.
All right.
Do you have Riz? I have all the Riz.
I don't care. I don't care to have Riz. I don't
when
know.
You're
Maybe
in
I should
school
care.
Next year patrolling the hallways, just roll up on some kids and be like, do you guys have Riz? And just watch what their face does.
What was the, for a while there, was it you were on Fleek. Is that a thing anymore?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's
We'll check with
long
our children.
Gone.
Yeah, long.
They'll let me know.
Long gone.
All the kids are shaking their heads.
Yes. All right.
My number 9 is?
Did you forget? There it is. That was a good one. I do like this one.
I like the song a lot.
That's really good.
When I saw it on the list, I said, oh, I've got to figure out a way to get it in. For the heartache and the pain.
And it's just very 90s sounding.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's about as 90s as you can get.
Yep. Love it.
Love it.
So that's Rush is the name of the song by Big Audio Dynamite 2.
Nice.
It's by the English band. Hit number one on the U.S. Billboard Modern Rock Tracks, not Hot 100 chart, for 4 weeks in 1991. Becoming the chart's most successful hit of 1991. So on Modern Rock Tracks, this song was the most successful hit in 91. I know how much you like the... you give lots of shout-outs to the international...
Yes. I love our international fans.
The Australian and New Zealand singles chart in the UK.
Good.
And it was featured on what film? What movie?
I know that, and I don't at the top of my head.
It's a good one. You and I both like it. It's been mentioned.
Empire Records?
Nope.
No, it's not on that.
So I Married an Axe
Murderer. Yes.
A little trivia for you. Big Audio Dynamite 2 was formed following Mick Jones's exit from what popular British punk rock band?
The Monkees.
Was it The Clash, The Sex Pistols, The Ramones, or The Buzzcocks?
I want to say Buzzcocks again, so I'll go with that. Oh, my goodness.
It is The Clash.
I don't know who gave you that button, yeah. But it sucks.
I'm excited for the button. No, so after being fired from The Clash in 1983, he started a band called Top Risk Action Company. Then it went to Big Audio Dynamite, then Big Audio Dynamite 2.
Ah.
And then in 94, it just turned into Big Audio.
So, I like that song. Yeah. It does remind me of the early 90s.
Yeah.
It's got such that sound to it. Like you're sitting in a coffee shop eating your...
Yeah.
What did he say? The Campbell's Cappuccino.
The cappuccino.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Well, my number eight is a song I don't think you'll have, so I'm pretty confident, but I really like it. It is called Your Woman by Whitetown.
Oh, I looked at this one. Yep.
It's catchy. I like it.
What was the name of the band?
Whitetown. Yeah, I don't know if it's a good band name, but...
Got it. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, great song. Very catchy.
Yeah, your criteria of name a song.
Oh, yeah.
And what song is associated with... Yeah.
That's it.
Right? Do you know anything else they've ever done?
No. I didn't even look it up because I don't. So, but this was released in January of 1997. Only hit number 23 on the US Hot 100, but outside the US, pretty big hit. Number one in Iceland, Spain, and the UK. Also hit top 10 in 12 other countries, including number two in Scotland, Canada, and Australia. Mm-hmm. Super funky song. Sounded a little different than other stuff on the radio at the time,
yeah.
I thought. In 97, it was starting to be a lot of boy bands, tons of hip-hop, and that swing revival was still kicking around. So the song stood out a little as being something kind of different. The singer was interviewed and said the song combined George Clinton-style funk from the 70s and Depeche Mode-inspired 80s electro-pop. Sounds like a good combo.
And what year was that?
1997.
That was 97? Wow.
97, yes. So you, in your cargo shorts, at the Clackamas Community College, listening to the Whitetown.
Yeah, I was up there. Yeah, I'm not running around in my...
I know you're...
I probably still own those cars. Well, no, that's true.
Like,
that's
you do not keep true. Clothes I would not, forever.
I would not fit.
You can buy new clothes. It's okay.
Get maximum mileage out of them.
Maximum. Yep. All right, that's my number eight.
That was good. Not on my list.
Follow that one up.
All right. Oh. Challenge accepted.
All right.
Here we go. My number eight.
Oh, my God. You should be fired from the show immediately.
Why?
Awful. I don't care that it's a one-hit wonder. It's terrible.
My achy, breaky, huh?
Come on now. I don't even want to talk about this.
Billy.
Awful.
Come on, Billy.
Awful. I really don't enjoy it.
This is a great choice.
It is not a great choice.
Challenge accepted.
Good news, not on my list.
Shocker.
If you'd have paid me $10, I wouldn't have put it on my list. So,
that's one of my favorite picks on here. So that's Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus, 1992. It was written in 90. It was actually released in 91 for a group, a trio. I don't even know who they are. The Marcy Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And it was called Don't Tell My Heart. Then Billy Ray Cyrus got a hold of it. It's his signature song. We talk about one-hit wonders.
We know.
It was the first ever song in Australia to achieve triple platinum status. And it was Australia's, in Australia, it was 1992's best-selling single.
Hey, I love the Australians. They're one of our friends of the show.
You don't agree with that choice.
Highly disagree with you on this one there, down under. I'm not going to be disappointed in them. I'm shocked. You're better than that. You're better.
It's considered a crossover hit. Peaked at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100, topped hot country charts. First country single to be certified platinum since Islands in the Stream.
It's not a country. It sucks all the way around.
The music video for the song led to the explosion of the line dance.
Yeah.
You knew it. You were into line dancing.
No.
The song is considered by some one of the worst songs of all time.
Absolutely.
Featuring at number 2 on VH1 and Blender's list of the 50 most awesomely bad songs ever. Weird Al Yankovic parodied it. I mean, it was like, he does this little softball, lob that one in there. Paul Mather from Melody Maker said it's like, quote, a country record done by an Eskimo. I don't even know what that means.
We've talked about this way too long.
All right. No Angry Breaker Heart was Cyrus's biggest hit single in the U.S. until he was featured on which 2019 Lil Nas X song?
Old Town Road. Oh, the ding this time. Isn't that fun for me? That's the worst song you've chosen for any of our podcasts on any episode.
Wow, that's
the worst.
That's a.
Do you have a toilet flushing sound over there? Push that button.
I'm adding it though.
Put that song away. We don't want to hear it ever again.
What?
And I think fans, if you don't want it on the Spotify playlist, I will leave it off. Trust me, you don't need that in your life. So
it's. Yeah, it's probably the worst list or song on my list.
Rough.
I don't think
there had to be other better one-hit wonders than that. You just did it to be funny or just to make people angry.
No,
it meets criteria, but it sucks.
Okay, meets the criteria.
If there were bad songs in the 90s, it would be number 2. So,
what would be number 1?
I'm gonna guess you don't have it, but it's called "Cotton Eye Joe" by the Rednecks.
No.
It's horrid. It's
I want to,
but we'll do that a different day. Right. So
that'll be on volume 2.
All right, let's get away from that ear sickness and move over to my number 7, which is a much better song. That people actually like, and I'm just gonna play it for you and see if you can figure it out.
Ooh, I like this one.
I like Natalie.
This is good. Lying naked on the floor. The podcast you turned me on to did a, is it the 60 songs?
That define the 90s?
His episode on Torn is really good.
Really good.
Yeah, it's a really good
one. So, huge song. That, as you're alluding to, if people didn't know by now and may blow your mind, it's actually a cover. And been like covered many times. She was like the 4th or 5th one to do it.
Yeah.
But she was the most successful person to cover it. Released October of 97, went to number 42 on the US Hot 100, but number 1 on the Hot 100 Airplay, Adult Top 40, and Mainstream Top 40 in the US. Overseas powerhouse, song was top 10 in 22 countries, number 1 in Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Iceland, Spain, and Sweden. Swedes. There was a earlier version of that over there that a Swedish artist actually did, so obviously they really liked Torn. A lot. Great video. Very memorable. She was hot. And I thought she got a Grammy nomination, and she did. So I thought she did, and she did. But she lost to who, Rob? Hit your little dinger on this one. She lost.
You're so mad. You're so angry with the dinger.
She lost to Celine for the My Heart, the Titanic song.
Oh, yes.
So number 383 on Blender Magazine's list of 500 greatest songs since you were born. So. I don't know. I didn't know Blenders knew when you were born, but apparently they did. So there
you go. I don't think it's fair that Blender picked Torn as one of the best songs since you were born.
383 of 500.
And Achy Breaky made nothing. Their worst song.
Yeah. I think they use it to wipe the mud off the floor when people track it in from the rain because it's a terrible song.
I am so. Okay. So, no, great song. Torn, I looked at it.
Natalie and Bruja.
Yep. I love it.
It could have been higher than 7, but that's where it landed for me.
That's a good point. I had a hard time ranking because a lot of these were just really good. I just started putting them in order or just putting them on the list because it didn't matter.
Gotcha.
All right. My number seven.
Seven.
Oh, is.
There it is. Much better than that previous thing you played.
Do you think this is better?
Everyone thinks this is better. It's not debatable. Upside down and inside out. I'm about to show all
you folks what it's all about. Now it's time for to get on the mic and make yeah. this party
hot. Oh, no, you got the radio edit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to be nice for our fans. Yeah,
keep it clean.
I don't always follow that, but yeah.
No plums or we don't have any
peaches.
Peaches, plums
hey,
or
we think it's important that fruit is, you know, a part of this show. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, that is Whoomp. There it is. 1993 tag team. It's their debut single, written by members Cecil DC, the Brain Supreme, and Glenn and Steve Roland Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reached number two on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Multi-platinum, broke records. Despite never reaching number one, the song spent 24 non-consecutive weeks in the top 10, became the longest running top 10 song of all time.
All time.
Until Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart broke it in 1997. It's considered a one-hit wonder.
Oh yeah,
Has remained a pop culture staple. There was a group called 95 South.
Yeah, they did the Woot.
It was Woot. There it is. Because Woot. I guess Woot was a common expression used by dancers in Atlanta yes. and Miami nightclubs that members from both groups frequented.
Whoomp, whoomp. The P is the more superior song.
Yeah. Some accolades. It was rated number 97 on VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders, listed yeah. at 58 on Billboard's Greatest Songs of All Time.
All time.
58. Holy cow. The single is certified 4 times platinum. It was ranked the second biggest song in 1993 behind Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. And has sold 3.5 million copies in the United States.
Nice.
A little trivia for you. In December 2020, the members of Tag Team were featured in a series of advertisements for what product?
Well, it was Geico. Scoop, there it is.
That's right. In December of 2020, the Geico insurance company used a parody of Whoomp, there it is.
Scoop.
And the members of Tag Team as the punchline to the joke in a commercial. Yeah.
I appreciate you
highlighting. My favorite part of that was sprinkles.
Yes. I appreciate you highlighting to our listeners that I watch too much TV. That I know Geico commercials, but thanks. Very good.
Yeah, Scoop. There all it right. is. So anyway, whoop, there it is.
Well, that's good. We can wipe that other song out of our ears, and we can go with the whoop. There it is.
Never.
Much better. Never. That takes me to my number six. This is a song you're going to like, Rob. It's got a little bluesiness to it. It's by a little artist called Mark Cohn, and he is
Walking in Memphis.
Walking in Memphis.
Yes! I had this on my list. I almost picked it. I was walking with my feet great song.
Yeah. Walking in Memphis. It's got that bluesy yeah. feel you like. But do I really feel the way
I feel? What? Whatever happened to him?
That's it?
That's the voice. He had a voice that should have lasted.
Yeah, you could just do that song, though, and live off it. So you don't got to do more than that.
That's true.
Released March of 1991. Only hit number 13 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. I thought it would have been higher than that. But mm-hmm. number three in Canada, U.K. was not on board in Memphis as it only hit number 66, so not their favorite song. Won a Grammy for Best New Artist in 1992. Mm-hmm. The song is about a trip Cohn took in 1985. Overall, good song. I still enjoy listening to. Definitely a radio favorite in the early 90s. Fun fact, it was covered in 2005 by Cher. I didn't listen to that because it doesn't sound good. Which, when I read that, I pulled it up. I didn't want to listen to it.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time even imagining. Her
voice. I can't tie her voice to it, so I didn't expose myself to it.
Wow.
Now, for prep for the show, I probably should have, so I apologize to the listeners.
Well, now I want to.
But if anyone else wants to, you can go find the Share cover.
Now watch Spotify, Amazon. Think. They're going to see a little bump in Share's version of Walking in Memphis that nobody knew
thanks
existed.
Thanks to the Rob and Dave experience. So
I wonder if we have an effect out there.
We do.
We'll start.
Someone's like,
see a little bump in these weird songs.
I want to hear that. Yeah. I bet Weird Al's gotten a bump from us.
Oh yeah,
because we've given him plenty of airtime for no apparent reason,
and he doesn't even thank us.
No, you'd think one email from Weird Al, if you're listening out there, one email something.
That's all we need.
We give you a lot on this podcast.
Facebook message or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. A retweet, something.
All right. My number 6.
Yes.
It is.
You can do it. Come on.
No. I'm having problems here.
I see that. It's just a computer. It's not that hard.
This is probably my favorite song on my choices.
Yeah, it should have been higher. Cracker.
And I have... Yeah. This is Low by Cracker.
Yeah.
1994.
Really good.
Yeah.
I had this whole CD, and I can confirm it's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the CD was not very good.
And the reason why I picked them, I didn't put it higher, because I like the song, but I wondered if... I could see this being a band that, to us, is a one-hit wonder, but they've probably got a following.
I'm sure.
People still hang.
You can say that about a lot of these folks. There's probably lots of followings for these. There's always a niche group for every band.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
like we said, this is Low by Cracker, 1994, American rock band. Let's see, it appeared on their 1993 album, Kerosene Hat.
Not a great album.
Yeah, it's considered apologize
to those
hit.
Fellows from Cracker that are listening to the podcast. But I did not enjoy any song outside of Low.
No. It reached number 64 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100.
To be fair, they still got my money, so I'm sure they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
That I didn't listen to all the rest of the
Well, actually, that's funny you said that, because I've got some data here that shows that he probably does care. But singer David Lauer has said that the band's label made him write a letter to radio stations denying that the song was about drugs, claiming that the repeated phrase, quote, being stoned, was really being stoned. He paraphrased.
Wait, being stoned as in having rocks thrown at you?
I don't know. Apparently, the radio people wanted him to change that. So,
gotcha.
But no, he's got. He's really big on. He's been openly critical of streaming platforms like Pandora for low songwriter royalties, claiming to have made less than $17 from a million streams of his song "Low."
Interesting.
I don't know if that's true.
Maybe he had the same person negotiating that Lord Tariq and Peter Gunn did for the music rights.
And then in 2017, he initiated and settled a lawsuit against Spotify covering unpaid mechanical royalties. Also against Napster. Spotify set up a $40 million fund to compensate songwriters and publishers affected.
Oh.
A little trivia for you. The music video, directed by Carlos Grasso, portrays lead singer David Lowery losing a boxing match to which actress and comedian? Was it A, Sandra Bernhardt, B, Roseanne Barr, C, Paula Poundstone, D, Janine Garofalo?
I'll just go with Roseanne. Oh, I'm kind of happy to be wrong on
Sandra
that.
Bernhardt.
Oh, okay. She seems like she'd box too.
Yeah.
So.
It's a bit mannish.
All right. Well, that's good. Now for my number 5. Ooh, halfway through.
Number 5.
We're halfway through here.
Yep.
My number 5 comes from a singer who probably had the most famous nose ring in the 90s.
I was thinking of somebody else.
You were.
Also not on my list.
No.
But I mentioned her in the opening.
You did.
Good job. Good song.
Very catchy.
Yeah.
So that, of course, is Joan Osborne with One of Us.
Yeah.
Released November 21st, 1995. Very popular hit. Number 4 in the U.S. Hot 100. Went number 1 in Australia, Belgium, Canada, and again with Sweden. They love pop songs. There's actually a thing on Netflix about Swedish pop songs you should check out. So
I think you've told me about that before.
Yeah, and you still haven't checked it out, so I have to repeat these things over and over again. Also, top 10 in 8 other countries. Song earned Joan Osborne 3 Grammy nominations, but I remember it most for the video, that close-up of her singing. Very attractive, and that famous big hoop nose ring. I didn't know a lot of girls at that time with a lot of nose rings, and then she had it, but it looked good. The song ranked number 54 on the top 100 hits of the 90s by VH1 and number 10 on their greatest 40 one-hit wonders of the 90s. So Joan Osborne.
That was a good one. I looked at it, but nope, didn't make my list.
No relation to Ozzy, by the way.
I remember that always being a conversation. What if she's related to Ozzy Osborne?
She's not.
She's not. All
right. It's just a common last name.
All right.
So.
All right. So my number 5.
Your number 5.
My number 5 is...
Yes, I love it. How bizarre. That's a great one.
It's a good song.
It's nonsense, but I love it.
Yeah.
The way they sound out some of their words is very interesting too.
And that could be because they're from New Zealand.
Yes, they are.
How bizarre.
They can't even say bizarre. They don't use the R's
bizarre
in that word at all.
Yeah. All right. So that's How Bizarre, 1995, by a group called OMC.
Yes.
Written and performed by New Zealand musical group OMC. Any thoughts as to what OMC stands for? I learned this. This is new for me. This is new learning.
I don't have anything for you.
It's the Otara Millionaires Club.
Goodness.
Because the lead singer was born in Otara, South Auckland, New Zealand.
Nice.
It was released in December of 95, topped the charts in five countries, Australia, Austria, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand. It's considered a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Their home country loves them, though. The song won the award for Single of the Year in 96. And 34th greatest New Zealand song of all time, as voted by the members of the Australia Asian Performing Rights Association in 2001.
That's a hard sentence.
It's been called Polynesian pop with a twist.
It's good.
I like that. Was named the 71st greatest one-hit wonder of all time on VH1's Countdown, hosted by William Shatner.
Captain Kirk.
This is sad. Polly, I don't know how to say his name, the lead singer. Okay. Polly Fumana.
All right.
Developed an extremely rare neurological disorder similar to multiple sclerosis. He kept the illness private. He died in 2010, a week before his 41st birthday.
That's too bad.
Little trivia, in the months leading up to March 2021, there was a resurgence of the song's popularity, secondary to its adoption by many users of which popular social media platform? Was it Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, or YouTube?
I don't know. Snapchat. Yeah, hit me with that.
It's TikTok. Right. Over 100,000 videos have incorporated the song's lyrics and videos showing awkward conversations and strange coincidences. The hashtag #HowBizarre hashtag has generated more than 1.4 billion views. And when I was doing my research, I played it out loud, and my daughter goes, "Oh, I know that song."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Because it's
from
on TikTok."
The TikTok.
But, yeah.
Someone should take that button away from you.
Never.
Yeah, I got that. So, all right. That's a good number five.
All right.
I do like that song. I like when they say the lions, snakes, monkeys, just random things they throw together. They talk about clowns and a Chevy 69 or 59, whatever it's supposed to be. So, well, that's a hard one to follow up, and I will do the best that I can because my number four really infectious and famous song comes from an artist known as Lou Bega.
Oh,
and it is Mambo number five.
A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit
of Rita's all I need. A little bit of tea. He knows a lot of ladies. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A lot of ladies for Lou Bega. A little bit of you makes me your man. You like that part with the wah?
I will tell you, you talk about, you know, we criticize him and go, "Oh, it's so dumb." But I was at a concert for a blues guy. His name's Joe Bonamassa. And he's telling this story about how when he was a young writer, like 24-year-old, and a 24-year-old blues guy coming up, he worked with this songwriter, and the songwriter they were getting together to write, and the songwriter says, "Well, this is our last time that we're gonna write together."
Yeah.
And he said, "Why?" And he goes, "Because my ship's come in. I wrote this song. It was this little song about a ship and some Canadian actresses or some Canadian singer's gonna sing it," and ended up being "My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. And he, as he's telling the story, he goes, "I, in that moment, watched somebody become fuck you rich."
Oh, nice.
And he never had to work a day in his life. And I think about some of these guys.
That's Lou Bega.
They wrote one song.
Yeah.
And now every time the song plays, and I mean,
I'm sure Lou Bega lives well off of Mambo number five. Released April 1999, so right before the dreaded Y2K. It went to number three on the U.S. Hot 100, but when I tell you it was number one everywhere else, I am not exaggerating, Rob. It was number one in Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France. Yes, France. They don't like anything. Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Spain, Scotland, Sweden, Switzerland, and the U.K. Number one, all those countries.
Wow.
21 different countries. So let that sink in just for a second. Lou is a German singer, and this was his only top 40 hit in the U.S. All I know about Lou, as I said earlier, is he has a lot of ladies. There's Angela, Pamela, Sandra, Rita, Monica, Erica, Jessica, Tina. Sounds like reindeer, but they're all getting a little bit sweeter with Lubega.
Man, he really sold the like Latin. Oh, he's German, huh?
Says he's German.
Wow.
Doesn't mean he can't have a Latin heritage. Just okay. He found himself in Germany. Wow. 21 countries, Rob. This was the number one song.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Doesn't have to work another
That's
day,
a lot. It? 21 countries. I was shocked.
Well.
France.
Now, that's an audacious claim that the French don't like anything.
They don't like anything I pick.
Oh. Okay.
So they just disagree with me on a lot of songs. So, all right. But you can follow up old Lubega there. Well, yeah, I bet your song didn't go number one in 21 countries.
No. I'm going to say no. But here we go.
No.
My number four.
Four.
We're bringing it down.
Oh, nice, though.
We're bringing it down. So very depressing.
This is depressing.
Yeah. This is The Freshman.
Verve?
By The Verve Pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of verbs. There was a Verve and a Verve Pipe.
There was the Verve and the Verve Pipe. I thought that was interesting.
What is going on there?
That they would...
How would that even happen? It's such an odd thing. Well, that it would double up.
Well...
Yeah, that is like a sit in your room and cry song.
It's not a pleasant song. Back to the Verve thing. It seems like just there'd be some like band unwritten etiquette where you'd call each other up and go, okay, do you want the Verve?
How do you even know to call the other person up till they release a song? You'd be like, we're the Verve.
I figure all bands like talk. They're on the same social circles.
They just added the
word
pipe to theirs. That's the agreement they made.
All right. Well, this is, like I said, The Freshman, The Verve Pipe, 1996, released January of 97. That can't be true. The band's breakthrough hit and is the group's highest charting single, peaked at number 5 on the US Billboard Hot 100. Surprising, The Verve Pipe is still producing albums. They produced an album in 99, 2001, 2014, 2017, and as recently as 2021. So they're still producing music.
Okay.
But a little trivia for you. In an interview with Exclusive, lead singer and songwriter Brian Vander Ark stated that the incident which inspired the song was A, when his infant brother died at birth, B, when his dad left the family when he was a young boy, C, the discovery that him and his wife were unable to conceive, or D, when his pregnant girlfriend had an abortion.
This is a terrible question.
That's an awful question.
I don't know why you put this on here. We're trying to entertain people and you ask a question like this. Whatever the third one was, I'll pick the third one. Your little man. No. There you go.
It was when his pregnant girlfriend had an abortion.
I don't want that. Jiminy Christmas, Rob.
Do you want me to keep going? I have more notes.
No.
Okay.
It's just you've killed everything. Nobody, no one likes anything now.
No.
That's awful.
I'm going to keep going. I'm doubling down. The Freshman was one of several songs about abortion that were issued by male music artists in the 1990s. Did you know Nirvana's Penroyal Tea?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Ben Folds 5's Brick.
Okay.
The Goo Goo Dolls' Slide.
Yes.
And Everlast, What It's Like.
Okay. Too many.
I didn't know that any of those were. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it's an awful subject.
But then Robin tried to put out an album called My Truth, and it had some songs about that same topic, and they shut her down.
Good. It's too much.
And the lead singer.
Can we? I'm going to bring the vibe back up real quick here. that song's. Really depressing, and I don't like any part of it anymore. So my number three could easily have been the number one, and you could just say it's the number one hit wonder of the 90s. I just had two others I liked better, but I'm just going to play it for you.
That seems like not on my list. I love it, though.
Everyone loves it. The song has never died since it came on the scene. Been here forever.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah, and nobody can say, like, if it doesn't happen very often, but if the phrase comes up, the word sexy comes up.
Yeah, you're too
It's
sexy.
Really hard not to turn that in and
rhyme too sexy. Fred forever.
You immediately start kind of singing that.
Yeah. Well, this is as... You were alluding to I'm Too Sexy by
Right Said Fred.
Can't have a one-hit wonder without this song. Countdown, at least, I would think. Released in 1991, obviously hit number one in the U.S. Hot 100 as its popularity could not be denied. It was also number one in Australia, Austria, Canada, Ireland, and, of course, New Zealand. Obviously, friends of the show New Zealand love the song, and I would imagine are also very sexy. So we'll give them a shout out for that. Wright said Fred were two gym owners who wrote this song after watching people flex in the mirrors at their gym. So that was the inspiration.
They're both kind of buff dudes, right? Yeah,
they were.
They wore a lot of netting, though.
I like the mesh shirts.
No, the mesh.
It's good. We should get mesh shirts. We're going to do an episode in mesh shirts. I think people would enjoy that.
And do the achy breaky line dance at the same time.
We're not talking about that. Iconic song of the 90s that still gets played today. My favorite lyric, I'm too sexy for my cat. Too sexy for my cat. Poor pussy cat. That is, as a young teen, that was funny. And you know what? As an adult, it's funny. And they knew what they were doing there. Question, Rob, do you still have your mesh shirt? Because I saw you wear it in high school. So
I never had a mesh shirt.
You did. Don't lie to the fans. They want to hear these things.
My physique has never been...
It used to lend itself to it. I think it would lend itself to a mesh shirt perfectly right now. Nope. So.
Nope.
There you go. So, no. Well, nobody needs to see I don't that. Think your next song is going to be too sexy, but you can give me your number three.
All right. It's kind of keeping with the theme of kind of a low key.
Really good. Luscious Jackson?
That's right.
Very good.
And this is 1997.
Yeah, I like this. Yeah. Much better than the last one you had.
The freshman. I apologize. Very depressing. Really brought it down. Yeah.
Killed the mood.
I will hear about it later. As my wife's getting ready for her in the morning, she will say
it. Like, what happened here?
When I get the full...
We thought Robert, Achy Breaky Heart goes, was Robert, going to be the peak horribleness of this, but then you just went and did it.
I got one locked in the chamber that could be worse.
Nice.
This is a Naked Eye by Luscious Jackson. I can't even say that.
Luscious.
Thank you.
Come on, man.
Luscious. There it is.
Sound it out.
Released 96, alternative rock rap group. The band is in reference to a former NBA basketball player, Luscious Jackson.
Nice.
He was born in 41, died in October of 22. So he was a power forward, played for the 76ers. Their biggest hit, their only Billboard Hot 100. Oh, yeah. They broke up in 2000. It peaked at number 36 on the Billboard Hot 100. In a 1997 interview with Billboard, singer Jill Conniff explained that the song is about being emotionally naked or honest rather than naked as in without clothing.
Yes.
Kind of figured that it was more Makes than sense. Just being naked. But
it's a good song.
A little trivia for you. Between 1983 and 2000, the band released material on the Grand Royal label, which was founded by which popular 80s and 90s rap group?
Beastie Boys. Yay.
Yeah, Grand Royal was a vanity record label founded in 92 by the Beastie Boys. It was based in Los Angeles due to mounting debts. Grand Royal closed down in 2001.
I'm pretty sure that the Luscious Jackson singer was the girl that lived with them that was originally in the Beastie Boys. She was their drummer. But then when they became the band, Rick Rubin and them basically told them to boot her out. It's on their Apple thing. And then they went back later and apologized to her and everything. So
yeah, I didn't know that. Right. Yeah.
Well, my number two is our first crossover. We were plus two, right? We said?
You said two. I said one.
All right. Well, this is the one so far. So let's see if we can figure it out.
Yes.
It is. Groove is in the heart.
Well, now I'm beginning to think this was
honestly like the first song I picked for the whole countdown.
So that's a fun song.
Yeah, I like the bass right there. Yeah, it's really good, right?
Little Bootsy Collins.
Yeah,
and a little they got lots of stuff. Like drums, and then they got the slide whistle.
Oh, they do everything.
Got weird people talking in the background.
Oh yeah, it's got it's multifaceted. It's got lots of things happening.
Multifaceted.
Yes.
Look at you.
As you alluded to earlier, I have a note here that says, the best use of a slide whistle in any song ever.
I knew you were going to like that. If that
released in August 1990. You said it went to number four. That's all good. I do have, someone wrote a quote in a magazine. This may be a one-hit wonder, but what a hit. This song defined the summer of 1990 on radio and MTV.
I have that same exact quote.
And again, as we've talked about many times, if you just stay for the slide whistle, you'll be doing yourself a huge favor, because it is fantastic.
It is. It's really good. No, great pick.
They also do a thing where they like do that where you pop out your cheek. You do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. They're popping something. So, but that's my number two.
All right. So it's my number two. My number two probably, well, I just think it's probably one of the most one-hit wonder songs ever.
Wondery. That's a word. Oh, nice. Really good.
Yeah. Like, what else have they done? We don't. This is all they've done.
Literally nothing. Yeah. The new radical.
And I like this. I mean, you sing along. You can't help it.
No, it's great. Good video, right, too. You like this part?
Give it to me now. That's right.
I would have liked it if you could have hit that note, but that's okay.
No. So this is the new Radicals. You Get What You Get. Came out in 98. It was
get
the first.
Get what you give, right?
Oh, what did I say?
Get what you get.
Sorry, you get what you give.
You
sorry,
go.
My bad. All right. I have that right here. It was the first and most successful single for their only studio album.
Only.
Maybe You've Been Brainwashed Too was the name of their album. Peaked at number 36. In a Time interview, U2 lead guitarist The Edge is quoted as saying, quote, "You Get What You Give is the song he is most jealous of. I really would have loved to have written that."
Yes.
Wow. That's see, in 2002, VH1 voted it the 64th greatest one-hit wonder of all time. It's been featured on movies, Scrubs, Community, Jag, Dawson's Creek, Glee. It's been in movies, A Walk to Remember, Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, Click.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Nope. It's been covered by Mandy Moore.
No.
And it's been covered by Hall & Oates.
No.
Somebody we've mentioned
Nobody
before.
Should be
So when people are looking up the Cher version of whatever that one song you had.
Go find the Mandy Moore version.
There you go. Lead singer Greg Alexander dissolved the New Radicals in 1999. He has since won a Grammy for his for Best Pop Collaboration with Vocals for the song The Game of Love.
Nice.
You might know that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song by Santana and Michelle Branch.
Very good song.
He then co-wrote some songs that got him an Academy Award. So
he's a producer guy now.
Yeah. So. In a 2006 interview on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, which popular rap artist, when asked what music they'd heard besides rap music in the last few years, really grabbed him, named
Can
You
I answer
Get
this?
What You Give? Was it Ice Cube, Method Man, Ice-T, or ODB?
You're ready to hit your and, right? I'm going to go with everyone's favorite summertime beverage, iced tea. Very good.
Was iced tea.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. All right.
So I knew that answer, actually.
That was my number two.
Nice. Number two. So that gets us through our top nine each.
Oh, yes. So it is time for
the cut line. We are so out of sync on that. It's really bad. But maybe good at the same time. So
we'll find out. All right. So before we reveal our number ones, let's head to the cut line. As we put our list together, we often find it very difficult to rank just 10 in each category. So for this segment, we will each identify two songs that just fell out of our top 10. We will also identify an honorable mention, which is a song we missed the first time around but found sometime later and really liked. So Dave, what is your first?
My first one is a great pop song, not shocking to you, from the early 90s. It's by a group, Charles and Eddie. Would I Lie to You?
You, baby, will never find another girl.
I like this song a lot.
It's really good. By the way, that woo is the best thing about the whole song.
Yeah.
Right here, this part too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really gets down it.
What's that?
He really gets into it.
He does. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, go for it, right? Great fun song. Makes You Feel Good. Released August 1992. Only hit number 13 on US Hot 100, boo. Number one in Germany, Austria, Belgium, the UK, Zimbabwe coming in strong. And, of course, New Zealand. So they knew it was a good song. I don't know what happened in the US. Number 13. Eh. By the way, any New Zealander that loves our show, message us and we'll zoom you into an episode for a chat. I would love, because I know how much you love the show. So let's get together. This was also a top 10 in 10 other countries. It's great everywhere. I don't have a lot more, except I like listening to it. And that, oh, yeah. That's one of the best parts of a song of the 90s. So.
Yeah, I don't remember this one being on the radio a lot.
No, it's great. Makes you feel good.
I sing along.
I hear it. Yeah, it goes up in the car, and I try to hit those notes. I don't do it, but I try.
You try.
I do. So there's my first cut.
All right, my first cut is bringing it down again. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you went. You went with
little Sinead O'Connor. Dolly Parton.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. You're such a dork.
No, I'm just kidding.
I bet she covered this, though.
No, no, it was Prince, right?
That'd be...
Yeah. This was somebody else's song before she sang it.
Very sad.
Yeah, I know. This is twice you've done this.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can we turn this off? Someone's going to just hit themselves in the face.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Just stop. Like, I'm not that depressed today.
I'm proud. A lot of these songs, you could, you know, we're recording this during the summertime. You could have this playing in the background at a barbecue, but yeah, I've got a couple in here.
I wouldn't play that in a bar. That's a skip.
Skip it. Yeah. So
there's a time and place to listen to that song, and a barbecue is not it.
Yeah. So this song explores feelings of longing from the point of view of an abandoned lover. Irish singer-songwriter Sinead O'Connor recorded a version of the song in 1990. It's referred to as a power ballad.
Sure.
Became a worldwide hit. The music video received heavy rotation on MTV. Let's see. Billboard named "Nothing Compares to You" as the number one world single of 1990 at its Billboard Music Awards. It spent 4 weeks at the top of the Billboard Hot 100, number one on the Billboard Alternative, number two on the Billboard Adult Contemporary. It's certified platinum. Blah blah blah. Goes
blah,
on.
Blah blah.
Chris Cornell's version.
Yes.
Is phenomenal if you've not heard that. But okay. You mentioned this little trivia. "Nothing Compares to You" was written and composed by which popular 80s and 90s musical icon? Michael Jackson, Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, or Prince?
I'm going to go with Prince.
That's
bing,
right.
Bing, 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 bing.
Written and composed by Prince for his side project, The Family.
Really good. All right. I've never heard the Prince version, though.
I didn't even know he had a side project called The Family.
Of course, he's had lots of side projects. Anyway. He liked it. Well, my second cut, another catchy pop song, of course, because that's what I love. It's by a band called London Beat. You familiar with the London Beat, Rob?
Oh.
And it is "I've Been Thinking About You."
Oh, yeah. This played a lot when I was at the clubs. Nah, I never went to the clubs. What are you talking about?
In your mesh shirt. This down is on, a mesh shirt song right
down
here.
Down on Front Avenue in Portland.
Yeah.
What was it? What was that? What was the place there on front? Up front? Or,
yeah, I don't remember.
Dang it.
Anyway. You spent more time on the docks in Portland than I did.
No,
so.
I didn't.
This was released September 24th, 1990. So just got in the beginning. Huge chart topper everywhere. Hit number one on the U.S. Hot 100. Number one in, here we go, Rob, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Finland, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and Zimbabwe. They love 80s, 90s music in Zimbabwe. Every review I saw said it's just a catchy song, that it's a great 90s dance groove. Mm-hmm. It's one that gets you in your head, stays for a while, memorable and enjoyable to listen to. And that's all I have about it.
Yeah.
So.
No, I like that one.
Fun, catchy song.
And who sang that again?
London Beat.
Yes. Okay. All right.
So you can run out and get some London Beat after the show.
London Beat.
There you go.
Well, my cut number two.
Cut number two.
Our over under was, your over under was two, mine was one. We're at your two.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, you had this too.
I did.
Charles and Eddie.
We almost had it at the same spot.
Man.
I like Charles and Eddie.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
That's why I picked them.
Yeah.
Said we were going to have maybe one. That's already two.
Well, we only have, two spots left, so.
Yeah. There's always opportunity.
Yeah. I have nothing else to add. We got, they're considered a soul music duo.
Nice.
I like that. Let's see, what else? What a hip single. This is Roofer and Fell from the Gavin Report commented. What a hip single. Charles Pettigrew and Eddie Chacon incorporate a soulful sound reminiscent of R&B from years gone by, a la Sam and Dave, etc. You only need one listen, and we guarantee you'll push play again.
I like when you say,
Would I have anything to add?
And then you read two paragraphs worth of information.
A little trivia, Charles and Eddie's only other song that I don't even know it, but Eddie's song, "I Would Stop the World," was featured on which 90s movie based on a video game? 1994 is Street Fighter, 1994 is Double Dragon, 1995 is Mortal Kombat, or 1993 Super Mario Brothers?
Well, I've heard the Mortal Kombat soundtrack, so I don't think that's right. I'm going to go with Super Mario Brothers because I don't care.
Nice job. Well done.
Nice. So that takes me to my honorable mention. And yes. My honorable mention is just a hype song.
Oh, boy.
Off of the first Jock Jams ESPN.
What?
Played at every game, stadium, everywhere you could go. It is Come Baby Come by K7.
Oh, good one.
I like the extra noises in the background. The swing, bada bada swing is the best part. Here it comes.
This reminds me a lot of Rump Shaker.
Yeah.
Kind of the
same vibe.
What are they
vibe.
Talking about?
It's a good vibe, right? I love the sound, added sound effects. The background, you got doors slamming, yeah. They got bats swinging. It's just a lot of fun. Released in 1993 to modest success, hitting number 3 in Ireland and the UK, but only number 18 on the US Hot 100. I didn't hear this in 93, however. I didn't hear it until I purchased a little CD I mentioned earlier in 1995 called ESPN's Jock Jams.
You actually purchased?
I did. Have you listened? It's great. Fun fact, though, I lost it, then... My wife had it, so I took it out of her CD player, and my car in Japan was an old car, so I had a CD player, and I would listen to it in there. But when I sold the car, I left it in. So no more Jock Jams. Some 20-year-old kid turned that on and was like, what is happening right now? So, but Whoop There It In was on that. There's lots of good stuff on there. So yeah.
I bought a lot of CDs, but I wouldn't have bought that one.
Yeah. The first Jock Jams is awesome and literally has so many great 90s party songs. Go look at it. You won't.
I feel like you're overselling
it. I'm not overselling it. So,
all right.
Never could oversell Jock Jams.
All right. Anything else about
I have nothing more about K7 unless you want to add something.
I got nothing.
Swing, bada, 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 bada.
Not on
swing.
My list.
So not on your list.
Nope.
Well, too bad for you.
Well, I'm going to keep with the theme of this kind of back and forth where you pick a hype song and then I bring it down.
Yep. Kill the mood. Debbie Downer, we'll call you.
Yeah.
Macy Gray. Yay.
This could be. This was the other one I was singing. It's not very great. It's not a good song.
I'm just going to say that I just don't like this song. I don't like her singing style. She's a good artist. You know, good for her. I just don't enjoy listening to her.
No. I bought this album, and I tried to like it, and
you like all this soul type of...
No, I kind of felt like it was a little bit like The Emperor's New Clothes, or, you know, where everybody's like, oh, it's so great, and I tried to really like it, and then I was looking around going, this isn't good.
No.
Why is everybody liking this? It's not good. She's not a good singer.
So you didn't like it so much, you threw it on this countdown.
But it meets the criteria of one-hit wonder. So
but you can also pick songs that you actually like to do this, too. It's okay.
I did. I picked a few on here that I like. My next one I really like. Co-written and performed by American musician Macy Gray. It was released in
99.
Best known, this is what she's known for.
Yeah. She was in Training Day.
She was. That's on my notes here. she was in Training Day. She was in Spider-Man, Scary Movie 3, and then a bunch that I know nothing. I've never heard of them. Lackawanna Blues, Idlewild, Four Colored Girls, and The Paperboy. Never heard of them.
Gotcha.
At the 2000 MTV Music Awards, the video won Best New Artist and was nominated for Best Female Video. It's her biggest hit. Kind of the thing. In a July 2022 interview on Piers Morgan Uncensored, Gray was asked how she would define a woman, to which she answered, A, boobs and a vagina. B, brains and strength. C, hips and ass. D, legs and lips. What's your choice?
I'm going to go B.
Oh, man. It was A, boobs and a vagina.
All right.
And in the days following the interview, she said her words had been misunderstood.
By the way,
I don't know how you.
Your wife is going to love this episode. You've gotten an F-bomb into it. Vagina.
I know.
And you used the.
Vagina, though, that's a clinical term.
I didn't say it wasn't clinical.
Textbook. Yeah. I mean, what do you want
to make? She'll think it's textbook.
Call it,
it's all good.
I don't know.
Call it a.
Vajayjay.
There you go. Yeah, Vajayjay. That's good. So, all right. So that takes me to my number one.
Your number one.
So, yes. Anyone who's listened to this podcast, and you, knowing me well, I love pop songs. Is that accurate?
Okay.
I will go out on a limb and say I think this is the best pop song of all time. So, and it takes our over and under to 3.
No.
As a matter of fact, it is You Get What You Give.
Nah.
By the New Radicals.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's good. Yep.
So this is a perfectly constructed pop song. The music is right. The song's right. It's catchy. Mm-hmm. You can sing along with it. Mm-hmm. Everything about it. I mean, there's an argument to be made. This is one of the best pop songs ever written.
Wow.
Released in 1998. Only got to number 36. I think you said that. Number one on the adult alternative charts. Did you have that? You talked about Edge, which I saw the Edge, saw the Ice-T. Joni Mitchell, also a big fan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw about
the
Joni
Mitchell. I thought she was being kind of like tongue-in-cheek, like sarcastic, but she really
actually
liked it.
Did like it. Yeah. So top 10 in Ireland, Scotland, Spain, UK. Just a great song. I absolutely love it. And I could listen to it over and over again. I never get tired of it. And I think it's kind of a perfect song. So from a pop standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. I like it. I like your number one.
Yeah, so there's my number one. So we have plus 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah. Well, we had Delight. We had Charles and Eddie.
Oh,
and now we have the New Radicals.
We did have. So. All right, so we were both wrong. All right, well, my number one, I think, is, well.
Okay. Don't leave us in suspense. Oh.
I'm starting it from the beginning.
Are you going with Under Pressure? That's an 80s song, Rob.
Well.
Oh, somebody stole it. That's right.
Yeah. Let's kick it.
Yeah. Someone who wondered.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't think his other, like Ninja Rap?
Ninja Rap? Or,
He also had that, he covered that Casey and the Sunshine Band
play
song.
That funky music.
White
this was actually the B-side to that.
Yeah, that's a bad song.
Yeah. Dance.
I can always wax a chump like a candle.
Yeah.
Never miss out on that.
Yeah, so this is a debut single by American rapper Vanilla Ice, also known as Robert Van Winkle.
Oh, yeah.
And what we just talked about, this is a B-side to Play That Funky Music. He wrote it when he was 16, based on lyrics upon his experience in South Florida. I'm going to go down here and say Ice Baby was the first hip-hop single to top the Billboard Hot 100. I did not know that.
Oh,
it was
nice.
The first hip-hop single to top the Billboard Hot 100. Outside of the United States, Ice Baby topped the charts in Australia, Belgium, the Netherlands, New Zealand, the Republic of Ireland, and the UK. VH1 and Blender ranked Ice Baby 5th on its list of the 50 most awesomely bad songs ever. We talked about that. Legacy. One thing that I want to talk about. It said, Van Winkle described himself as the first rapper to cross into the pop market and said that although his pioneer status forced him to take the heat for a lot of people, for his music use of samples, the criticism he received over sample use allowed sampling to become acceptable in mainstream hip-hop.
Nice.
I thought that was good. A little trivia for you. Which major city named the song as the worst song to ever emanate from their respective state? Seattle Times, Houston Press, LA Times, or the Miami Herald?
Houston Press.
Nice job. The Houston Press named the song the worst song ever to emanate from Texas.
Well, he used to dance in clubs in Houston. That's how I knew that. So,
oh.
But, well, that takes us through our whole list, Rob.
Yeah.
And I think we came up with a lot of good songs. You also came up with a couple of really bad songs, but that's fine. One really turd of a song for sure. But overall, I think we did good. And normally we would add in some other songs we found, but as we discussed at the beginning of this, I think this is like a volume one because we could do this again.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've got more one-hit wonders that we can throw out there for sure. So, but actually, right now, we had a guest wander into the studio because we've been out here so long, people wondering if we're still alive. Mm-hmm. But my son, my oldest son, Ethan, has wandered into the studio, and he heard about our one-hit wonder countdown that we're doing. And he likes 90s music, and he likes one-hit wonders. So he wanted to comment. How did we do?
Hello there.
Hello. First of all, yes. Way to say hello.
So, yes, your guys' music choices were very good.
Good. Yeah. Did you, which ones were bad?
The Billy Ray Cyrus one was awful.
See, so yeah,
that's probably the
okay. But you're
one.
Biased. Yeah. It's your dad.
No, everyone thinks it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah. So, well, if you liked most of the songs, did we miss anything in particular that you liked better?
Yes. So there is one song that I think you guys missed, and it's called "She's So High." Tal Bachman.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see if we. You know this one, Rob?
I do.
It's actually, I think it's on my list.
He had it hanging around.
What year was
You know, the first time he says Aphrodite right there, the first time I.
Oh, yeah. 99. She's So High.
Yeah.
99.
Right next to Mambo Number 5.
He says Aphrodite there. First time I heard it, I thought he said Hermaphrodite, but that didn't work out right.
I don't think
this is the only album that this guy released.
Yeah, this is his song. Okay. He doesn't really have.
So he was a one hit one.
Yes.
Anything okay. else? Right. Yeah, he definitely didn't do a lot else besides this one.
Okay.
So, is that it? Just She's So High.
A second song that you guys, I believe, also missed is called "Loser" by Beck.
Ah,
oh,
so
come
well,
on,
is that a one hit wonder? Though?
I think so.
You think it's a one hit wonder? He had some other pretty good songs in the '90s.
I had a couple things that said that it was he was a one hit wonder.
Okay. I had it on my list. I took it off just because I don't. Yeah.
I would say his Odelay album had a few songs that hit pretty good. So I'll admit, I think that's his biggest song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most people do know Beck, though, for that song, right? Mm-hmm. Would that be accurate?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like 2 turntables and a microphone,
yeah.
But not everybody maybe goes to that. Yeah. So I could see that.
Yeah.
So She's So High and Loser. We left those ones out. Those but that's part of what we were talking about, that there's so many songs.
Yeah.
You could just go on forever from the 90s, because we probably missed a bunch. And in fact, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, if you think we missed some that we should have included, maybe they'll come into volume 2.
That's right.
Write in, tell us what we missed. Go ahead and give us a nice synopsis on how terrible Achy Breaky Heart is, because I don't think I've driven that point home enough. So, well, Ethan, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got anything else for us?
I do not.
You do not. Okay.
No,
you want to plug, Ethan is a college student. You want to plug your school real quick?
Yes, I do go to Washington State University.
Yes. The what is their mascot?
They're the Cougars.
They're the Cougars. Yeah. Yes. So every time he drives around, I do that Ricky Bobby. There's a Cougar in the car. Right? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
He does.
So yes. So thanks for stopping by, Ethan. Yeah,
thank you.
And anything else for our countdown there, Rob?
No.
Okay.
I got nothing. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed a look back at our favorite one-hit wonders of the 1990s. If you like this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and share it with a friend. Then head over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us feedback and 5 stars, which will help us help our show grow. We love hearing from our listeners, so please leave us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or our website, which are all included in the show notes. Also, if you like today's musical choices, there are links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes. You can also find playlists for all of our previous music-based episodes. Finally, go ahead and email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with comments or show ideas you may want to hear in the future.
Future.
Yeah. So what is our homework for next time?
Our homework is, I'm supposed to ask you that.
Well, go for
but
it.
But you already asked me, so
I
guess we'll just go out of order.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing a standalone episode by quite possibly one of the best shows of the 1990s.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is the teen comedy / drama / greatest thing ever, Saved by the Bell.
I don't like that.
You do like that.
I don't.
And by the time we're done, you're going to like it even more.
So you... I would say for me, Saved by the Bell sits right up there with Achy Breaky Heart. Like it,
that is awful. No one thinks awful. That. Not yes. one person it's has that good. Opinion except for you. So you're still going to be here and you're still going to talk about it. And I don't care how much negativity you bring to it. It's going to be awesome. So
I got a lot of work.
You do have a lot of work.
Because you know a lot about it.
I know everything. I have it all.
You know too much.
Maybe. Yeah. I pushed out valuable info to keep the Zach Morris facts in my head. So,
all right, well,
You got anything else?
I don't.
Nothing?
What about you? Any fancy goodbyes?
Absolutely no fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbyes.
Yes.
All right. So. Well, we'll do it again next time.
We will do it again next time.
Peace out.
Hopefully not with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
In any capacity.
It's a great choice.
It's awful.
My favorite.
He's wearing those stupid high tops.
And the mullet.
Oh, my gosh.